Watch what happens. Watch what happens. Who cares what happens when there's so much that happens?
Happens.
Hello and welcome to Watch What Crap Ends, a podcast about all that crap we just love to watch on Bravo. I'm Ben Mandelker, and joining me is a hilarious man himself. It is Mr. Ronnie Karam. Hey, well, Ronnie, what's going on?
Well, hello.
Well, hello. Welcome to the bowling party that is Watch What Crap Ends.
Yeah, bowling party.
How are you doing today?
I'm doing great. You know, I love a Friday.
Oh, good. I love a Friday, too. I'm really excited about this Friday just because I'm like in holiday mode. So I kind of just want to get to the weekend. But before we get to the weekend or this recap of Real Housewives of Salt Lake City, this is a Crappens on Demand episode. So go to patreon.com/watchwhatcrappens. Okay. And you can sign up and you can watch us. For instance, if you're watching, you can see the exact moment when I turn on my light. And there it is. Now, well, I have better lighting.
Look at that face.
Semi better lighting. Now you can really see my, I got like a puberty zit this week, and it's just like right there. Anyway, Ronnie, anything exciting to announce before we dive into Salt Lake City today?
Oh gosh, nothing really. I'm just doing my Amazon Christmas shopping. God, I wish I had something going on over here. I'm almost done with that show Turn on.
Oh, good.
On cable, on Netflix that I've been watching. It's the most boring shit I've ever sat through, but I just keep on going. And I know a lot about American history now. So if you need to know anything, ask me and I'll still Google it. Let's be honest. I'm still going to Google it.
I'm watching a show called Turn, but it's about a bird. T-E-R-N. And it's great.
Is that real?
No. It's not a real. You're like writing it down. Turn. T-E-R-N.
Yeah,
it's about a bird. A bird in a war.
Yeah, I'm desperate. I'll do it. I guess next I'm going to watch that Queen's Gambit show about the lady chess player.
Oh, yeah. That's the thing that people are watching. I saw a few seconds of that, and I was like, cool. I've been watching a lot of, there's a show on Netflix called, like, The Movies We Grew Up With. But then they also have one called, like, The Toys We Grew Up With or something like that, and it's so good. I just watched an entire special about My Little Pony, and the woman who created My Little Pony is just, like, such a perfect Ronnie character. She's like, yeah, well, I made My Little Pony because girls like horses, okay? You'd really like it.
Sometimes you gotta give them what they want. What they want is horses.
That's basically what it was. You're like, they said to make the horse big, and I said, you gotta make the horse small and soft, okay?
Like that lady who was testifying in that hearing about votes. You know who I mean? That lady is like,
yeah, Catherine well, Dennis. I saw Suit Kings. That's what I saw. And you better come back and look at it. If you've got a problem with me, it might be a problem with you.
So well, funny. I like that show.
They did that on SNL. I saw a little clip of it the other day, and she does her perfectly.
I know. Cecily Strong was so good at that. Yeah. But today we are talking Real Housewives of Salt Lake City.
Yeah, that's more like this. It's kind of
more like
voice,
Meredith Marks.
More like this.
Meredith
Hashtag
Marks.
Blast if you ask me.
By the way, a shout out to our friend Amy Phillips, who we love and adore, who does so many good impersonations. And she came out with a video impersonation of Lisa Barlow going, can I touch? Can I touch?
I love that.
I love that. I love that. Can I touch? Can I touch? Can I touch?
So funny. Okay, so here we are. We are back at the luncheon, the big
Valter's
Met Gala luncheon at Valter's place.
Valter's of Salt Lake City. So that, you know, we're still sort of like getting a little bit of last week when Jen and Meredith are kind of like, you know, are burying the hatchet. And Meredith is like, well, I don't really even know what happened here. It's a very different way of communication than what I'm used to, because as you all know, I'm very elegant.
And Jen's like, well, Yeah, Meredith is like the first lady. She's like waving her finger. Like Jen waves her finger around at you even if she's happy with you. Just like, and it does look like a weapon because she has those really sharp, long, sharpened nails. And she's like, well, Meredith is like the first lady. And I'm like, fuck you, bitch. Ha 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 ha. And Mary just like flares her eyes.
Yeah.
And looks at her.
And we continue to advance the narrative that somehow Meredith is this like very glamorous, elegant woman. And we have not seen any evidence. She seems like nice, perfectly nice woman. But the way they talk about her, like, oh, well, Meredith, she's basically the Queen of England, right? At this point, she's just on another level. I'm like, and then you just see her. She's like, I'm Meredith Marks.
So Jen's like, you know, I have a hard exterior and I will fuck you up and I'll fuck you sideways and then I'm gonna fuck you backwards. But you know why? I do that because I just care. I care so much. And Mary's like, yeah, but when you do that to like people, like you know, words deadly. Words can be deadly. I flare.
Yeah, and Mary says, listen. I'm sorry. Jen is like, listen, I'm just the one that like I'm going to say what everyone else is thinking, but doesn't want to say. And Mary's like, because that she's sort of like always sort of like a little bit like an engine turning over. Like, I don't agree. I don't agree with you saying that. Like, that's I don't agree with me thinking that you'll say what I'm going to say because I'm just saying.
No, but I'm not saying that. She's like, but I wouldn't say things that you say. I would never say things that you say. Ever. Okay? But I'm not saying that. But you are saying. You're saying what I'm saying, and I'm not saying what you're saying I'm saying. And saying that you're saying what I'm saying is not saying. So say that.
I was like, what? Don't is this? Wink, sweetheart. We're all different. We're all different. And Mary's like, but nobody at the table would say the things that you said.
Wink. And then she's like, do not wink at me. We're all different, Mary. Do not wink at me. Saying things about saying is saying. And difference. Okay, Mary? And Mary's like, well, people wouldn't say things you say. Flare, flare. And she's like, open your eyes again. Open your eyes again like that at me. Because Mary does keep going like,
yeah.
Here's my opinion.
She's like Tim Curry enthusiast. And she's like, open your eyes at me one more time. I dare you. Open your eyes like that. And Mary goes like what? And she's and then Jen's like, blinking big. You're blinking big. You're blinking big again.
And she's like, we were just brought up very differently, Mary. And Mary's like, do not curse at me. Do not curse at me. She cursed at me.
And then we just cut to Walter and his assistant. They're like decanting olive oil very carefully, like in like plastic gloves, like a science experiment. Like they're just in their own different scene happening.
Yeah. And Mary's saying, don't curse at me. And she's like, well, then don't you wave your finger at me then. She's like, well, then don't curse at me. Don't wave your finger at me. And don't open those eyeballs at me. And Mary says, don't get ghetto. Oh, yeah, geez. Really?
And Jen says, ghetto, how? And Mary's like, you know what? I didn't even want to invite you. By the way, let's not forget that Mary also leads a congregation, a church congregation. Is this really what, hey, congregation, is this what you really want out of your religious leaders right now? This sort of like,
jeez,
decorum.
And so, Jen's like, oh, yeah. You think you're better than me? I mean, why are you coming for me? I mean, you're over there telling us to open up, and then I opened up, and then you're over there insinuating things. Which I don't know what that. She's like, listen to your words. And Mary's like, this is why you're always this is why you're always coming for me at every event. I flare.
And Jen's like, oh, I haven't even talked to you since the party. And Mary's like, well, I don't want to talk to you ever. And then it just cuts to Walter just watching, like, doing his own, like, Walter eye flare. Like, yeah. Do I serve the Parmesan now?
Yeah, it's like, is Michael Jackson in 1957, or is he in 2032? Not Michael.
He's very
Jackson.
Steampunk.
Michael J. Fox. Did I say Michael Jackson?
Michael Jackson, but it made sense. I still understood that. I felt like he was a time traveler trying to find Michael Jackson in different periods of time. Like, we must stop.
The Libyans are coming. The future. It's
the
Michael
Libyans
Jackson.
Are coming, and they've taken Michael Jackson to the past. So Mary's like, she's like, I don't want to talk to you ever. And Heather's like, Mary, you do. You want to talk to her.
Yeah, that's why we're having this conversation. And Joe's like, you said, you asked me to say something, and then I said something, and now you're saying you wouldn't say the things that you said that I said? And Mary's like, goodbye, Jen. Bye. Have a nice day. Excuse yourself from this table.
Yeah. No, Mary, you want her to stay. You want her to stay, Mary. You know how you want her to stay.
Open up your motherfucking eyes at me one more fucking time, Mary. And she's like, what are you going to do? Whip my butt? And she goes, no. And she gets up. She gets up and goes to her. And it's like, no, I'm not. Absolutely not. Eye opener. Go ahead and open your eyes, eye opener.
And Whitney, by the way, is like, I mean, I don't know how it ended this way. I mean, it started so amazing. We had a red carpet, we had beefeater guards, we had betta fish, we had Louis Vuitton, we had 20-year-old wine, I got a journal. Actually, none of it really makes sense now that I say it in a line like that.
You know what? I don't like this. I don't like feeling like this. I don't like how I feel right now and all of that.
I feel terrible. I feel terrible. I don't want to touch. I don't want to touch.
And so Jen walks off, and Mary's like, you guys have to respect me. You have to respect me, too. I'm not going to take that. And Heather's like, we just want you to work it out. This has to stop. I mean, yes, Mary said it smelled like hospital. Jen called Mary a grandpa fucker. At this point, the score is settled.
Totally. So then Lisa was talking to Mary, and she said, when Jen said the, or maybe she's talking to whoever, maybe to us, who knows. She's like, when Jen said those words at the 2020s party, I was cringing inside. My inside was like, can I touch to my other inside? And I know what's going through Mary's head right now. She's thinking, that's what they all think of me, because since I'm married to my grandfather, I must be a grandfather fucker, because I fucked my own grandfather, because he is my husband, and I have a child with him. That must be what she's thinking. Can I touch?
But
can
it's I not touch? True. She's like, it's not true. So outside, Jennifer and Heather are talking, and Jen's like, she told me to talk about myself, and then she yelled at me for talking about myself.
Which is true.
And Heather's like, but there's pasta. There's pasta in there.
So Jen's like, you know what? When I first met Mary, I was so excited. She was a female minority who grew up in Utah just like me. And I thought she's going to relate to me. But this is more of a letdown than anything else, because I just expected so much more. And so then Mary now is saying, we all have pain. Don't sit there and curse at me. Don't you dare do that. We all have pain.
And she's trying to, like, fake cry, and it's not working. And Lisa's like, I think where your pain is coming from is there isn't a resolve there. Because when you see her saying sorry to Meredith and then not saying sorry to you, and then you find out that I am all about Sundance and Sundance loves me, but Sundance doesn't necessarily love you. I mean, maybe that's what's bothering you.
Yeah. It's just, it's hurtful because you're like, say sorry to me. And then you're like, where's my Vita tequila? It's the best tequila. And you don't have it. And you're like, I love that. Where is it?
Well, there's no reason for someone to speak badly. There's no excuse for that.
And Mary's like, yeah.
Unless you're married to it. Unless you're married to it.
Yeah. Unless you're married to it or gave birth to it.
There's no reason. There's no reason.
I mean, if someone's calling you a fucking idiot because you didn't put the lid on the Vitamix, that's one thing. Okay.
And did you notice Meredith also has this really weird, like, head twitch? I don't know if it started today or if it's been there the whole time.
She's like on a globe, like, because the globe is sort of on an angle. So it's sort of like, when you spin a globe, that's what her head's doing. It's like, her head's just being spun like a globe.
Yeah, she has like a little twitch.
I have to talk like a globe.
Like she's trying to move hair out of her mouth. You know, she's like, but it never leaves. So anyway, Mary's like, listen, every time we leave an event, someone feels bad, and it's because of her. So Heather brings Jen back in. And Heather's like, no one wanted this lunch to end like that. I mean, we have to sit down and dive in and do it respectfully. We have to do it calmly. Also, I got some Tupperware out of the back of my car because this food is fucking amazing. Can I just say?
It's Walter, can you take this? Thanks. So Mary's like, listen, and also I feel like in Mary's like confessional, she clenches her hands or like right up to herself. So she's always like this. And she's like, I just wanted to like dress up like princesses and like go away with something like I do, but the problem is that she came with that brain and that mouth, Which, by the way, Princesses is not Methal. That's a different. That's a different thing. But that's fine.
Yeah. And Mary's mad because she feels like Heather's lecturing her, and she's like, "I'm not. I'm telling everyone." And Mary's like, "Well, I don't care. I don't want to talk about it." And she's like, "But come on, you came at her, so we should be respectful, shouldn't we? Just be respectful." She's like, "I did not come out at her. I did not. That is not true."
Yeah, yeah, and she's saying, like, you have to accept what I say, and Lisa's like, you know what, there are unresolved issues here, can I touch, is there anything that I can touch so we can get some resolution?
Resolve is super important. And Jen's like, I wouldn't be here if I didn't care. And Lisa's like, I believe her.
Your Honor, I believe her. Innocent.
And Heather's like, I believe her too. I believe her more. It's like, these ladies are like primed for a housewife show.
I know. And then
the stupidest shit.
I believe her. So then Jen says, you know, for me, it's hard to open up. And I just felt like Mary just took the legs out from under me. I'm like, you know, Jen, I thought that was a thing we were not talking about with you, taking the legs out from under you. So you're sending Mary mixed messages. You got to be really clear, okay?
Oh, so Mary's like, God, I was trying to open up, and she took the legs right out from under my aunt. And it really, really hurts me.
So Mary's like, that wasn't my purpose. So Jen's like, I know not everyone is like I am, you know, just like glamorous and wonderful and always right. But I tried to explain, which is what I thought you asked us to do. And Mary's like, yeah, well, I didn't know I wasn't allowed to comment. And then does a flashback to her telling everyone the rules. Okay, the rules are that you speak and no one chime in.
And Heather's like, well, it does seem kind of hypocritical to say that we should open up. And she goes, do not call me hypocritical. Do not do that. Do not do that, Heather. And she's like, I said it seems hypocritical.
Which, by the way, is a hilarious... It's a hilarious reference to the hospital smell. I didn't say you smelled like hospital smell. I said it smells like hospital.
And Mary's like, I don't care what you see, because you seem very hypocritical too. And I can be nasty too right now. You want to be nasty? You have two faces. You've got two. You have two faces. And Heather's like, I'm trying to manage this, okay? And she's like, I need to know one of your faces, okay? Because you have two faces. Two faces.
And don't do this around Walter, okay? He's very close on finishing his time machine, and he cannot be distracted. He's very upset. Mary calls him Walter. She goes, you can see that my good friend Walter, spelled with a W, is very upset. And Jen just starts laughing. She's just laughing. And then she's like, and then Lisa funny. Goes, sorry, Walter. Sorry, Walter. Sorry, I don't love this.
Sorry, Walter. And Jen's like, oh, well, guess what? I'm friends with Walter too and Arturo. So don't pretend that you're the only person that knows them. Stop. Now get you're upsetting this. Walter. You're upsetting Walter.
Walter's like waiting for like the lightning to strike the restaurant so he can go back to 1985.
But I love when they cut to Walter. He really does look upset. He's like,
not in front of the white truffle, the last white truffle on earth.
I just want Leah Thompson to be less confused in the past.
What are you going to say next? Ronald Reagan is president? So Whitney's like, okay, I'm going to explain because I speak the slowest here. Okay, so here is the situation. Jen was trying to explain. I don't care.
Two faces. She's like, let me talk.
I don't care. You're a swinger. I don't care.
She's trying to help you understand why she reacts like that to you. And Mary's like, let me share this. Let me share this with you. Okay, let me share. No, hold on. No. No, hold on. When you finished, you didn't accept it. And she's like, do not tell me how I feel, Mary. You're 30. Do not. Do not.
30-year-old.
Do not, Whitney. You are 30, okay?
She goes, I am 30, and you're acting like you're 10. Like, she said that in the confessional, like, huh. Zing. Whitney, zing. You got Whitney'd.
Commercials. Here comes one right now.
And Mary goes, I don't need hoodlums to be around. And Jen's like, oh, now I'm a hoodlum. And she's like, you are to me. Okay, so now you've said ghetto and hoodlum. What the fuck is wrong with this lady?
I don't. That's what I mean. And that, the sad part is that this is like number 5 or 6 on the list in terms of like what is the most wrong with her, as far as we can tell. Like, this one's actually pretty low down.
Girl, there are whole podcasts devoted to how crazy Mary is and how much of a liar she is. So, to those of you who think we're ignoring all that, we're not ignoring it necessarily. I just like, I'm trying to put it in context with everything that happens, because it does like require a gigantic expose to go into it. So they're saying that Mary was married before the grandfather and then left that guy to marry the grandfather, and that the grandmother never willed the grandfather to marry, that it's all a bunch of made up bullshit. And Mary is saying that the Lord told her to do it, and that she really did it so she can get all her grandmother's property, because the mom was suing Mary and kept him in court so long, all the money was gone. So she just wanted to keep all the property. So she married the grandfather so she would get the, I mean,
this is what happens when you listen to like a New Zealand pop star, you know, like the Lord will tell you so many different things and you can't listen to them all, you know?
I know. I opened myself up to the Lord and she said, "You're doing great, Taylor. You're doing great, Taylor Swift. I love you so much." I was like, "God damn,
you'll
Lord.
Never be royals.
Can you stop talking about how much you love Taylor Swift right now, Lord?"
But I do believe, was it Las Culturistas, who we saw in Vancouver once, and they were hilarious. I did hear that their latest episode, they do like a full deep dive on Mary's Crazy. So if people want to really have a deep dive of Mary's Crazy, go check that podcast
there's
that one, out.
And then there's a guy who interviews one of her cousins, I think. I think his name is Dean, like Cousin Dean or something. Or maybe Dean? I have Cousin Dean. Maybe my cousin.
Yes, I'm the cousin of Mary from Salt Lake City. Now, do you have that baby's milk that you promised?
And he's saying his mother is part of the church, and that the church makes people give them all their money, and then has the people remortgage their homes and then give them the money, and that they're not allowed to have internet or go out. And it's all this crazy shit.
Yeah, this church is like very on par for it's like actually like perfect for 2020, like in the year of like cult documentaries and cult behavior in our society. Mary is just on time. She is perfect. Perfect way to end out the year.
I guess, yeah, Mary. She is very 2020 Mary. But I wanted to, I don't know, you know, like the whole grandfather story and all that. I was like, oh my God, people are going to be so mean and make fun of her. You know, we should be nice to Mary, you know, because she's the one who's going to be getting bullied. And then she just comes out and she's just like a flat out racist.
She's just like,
I mean, what the hell?
I mean, it seems like self-loathing at the very least. And, but who knows? I mean, the point is this, it's not a good look. And it's also like, it's just not cool to say that. Especially to like, to Jen.
The hell is wrong with her? Fucking idiot. On
your face.
because what an asshole this woman is. Okay, so
no, I mean, clearly, like, by the way, if you're in her congregation, like, watch this scene and be like, is this what you want out of your religious leader?
Is this your goal?
Is this the sort of thoughtfulness that you, or lack thereof, that you want out of your religious leader? Because I don't really see much on display.
Yikes. So then Jen switches it.
Jerry O'Connell.
And then we go even further into what an asshole. God, I wish this wrinkle would. Is there anything to do? Like, I need to fill this with like silly petty. Okay, so Jen, it goes even further. So Jen's like, well, you said that when there's black people in front of a 7-Eleven that you leave. Hello, you're black. And Mary goes, oh, what? You know what? Okay, whatever.
Yeah, yeah. So yeah, I mean, like,
what the hell? So then Jen goes on and tells us the whole story. She's like, yeah, a couple of months ago, I had Mary over to my house, and she made some weird comment saying if she sees black people in front of 7-Eleven, she goes to another 7-Eleven. And I'm like, what? And I'm bringing it up now because I need to connect the dots and know who you are. Also because you're fighting with her. I mean, you are bringing it up now because you're fighting with her. But you know what?
Yeah.
That is a valid shitty, you know what, thing
it's,
to say.
Listen, she just called you ghetto and hoodlum. I think you are allowed to retort with, by the way, you said you wouldn't go into a 7-Eleven because there were black people there. Okay, oh so God. Yes, she is like, I am going to air that. So Mary, and the thing is this, Mary doesn't deny it either.
No,
Mary,
she doesn't says, I meant it. To this day, I mean it. That's what she said.
Yeah, and so Jen's like, so if you go to a 7-Eleven and you see all black people, you don't go in? Like, represent your people. And Mary goes, shut up. And then she tells us. But guys, don't worry. There's actually a very sane reason. She goes, Convenience stores, hospitals, I just have a fear of them. I mean, my mind goes violent in a convenience store. her mind goes violent.
Yeah, her mind goes violent when she thinks of convenience stores. And she's like, in hospitals, I can't bear that smell. I just can't. Shrug. Okay, so on this gay Facebook group I'm on, someone posted, you can't stand that smell of hospitals, but you want your son to be a brain surgeon? How does that make me?
I don't understand. I mean, I think I just... So we are like, we're just like slowly crossing off the places that Mary can go to on a daily basis. Like her Sim City is like crumbling apart.
Yeah. So Jen gets up now and she goes, I tried, guys. I tried, baby. And Whitney's like, I tried too. And then Jen kisses everyone goodbye. And Mary's like, I don't need this. I can't. I just, you know what? Don't need. Nope.
Can't. Give me the gift back.
I can't do it. And so she's like, bye, ladies. Thank you. And Mary's like, you know what? I tried. You know what? But can you give me back those AirPods? Can you give me back those AirPods? I want them back.
Or it could be a stopwatch.
Those AirPods stopwatches.
So so she literally did not try at all. In fact, she had like did not listen and did not empathize, and she actually took Jen's like very cheesy comment about like I say what people are thinking don't want to say. She took it like very literally and then started a fight about it. So no, you did not try. So now it's like, oh, this is what women in Salt Lake City are doing around the city. And we go to Mary's house, and she has a housekeeper named Charlinda who's just like beatboxing like whatever. So that another interesting facet to Mary's life. And then we go to Meredith's house. Also,
the star of Salt Lake City is in this scene. The blender. The blender is in this scene, guys.
Okay. The blender. Yeah. And by the way, she has Charlinda dress like someone who just came from the hospital, too, by the way. She's like in scrubs with like a hairnet. So
yeah,
that
full
too.
On hairnet. So then over at Brooks's house with Meredith. He's like
Brooks's house. Wow. Yeah,
so he's sketching sweatpants of some sort. He's very, very diligently sketching his sweatpants. And he's like, how was your luncheon thing? And she's like, well, Jen basically apologized. What is basically? Either she said she's sorry or she didn't say she's sorry.
Well, the bottom line is she said, you know, I only get upset because I care. And she's like, so she only yells at people she cares about. I'm like, how about this is an adult relationship? And yes, you're 21 and an adult, but like, how about like you deal with your friends and let mom deal with her friends?
Oh, I'd love to agree with that. But you know, my shit, I was all in the lady shit when I was a kid. All those junior leaguers around drinking Franzia, the kids would be playing and I'd come up to the ladies like, girl, you know what I heard Alia say? Even still, we saw my mom's friend Nora or our family friend Nora recently. And I was like, so what's up with the ladies? Tell me some gossip. My mom's like, seriously, still get alive.
So then we go over to Lisa, and she's talking to her son Henry, and she's like, "So we're gonna be celebrating your birthday twice. We're gonna celebrate your birthday at a bowling alley, and then at Sundance. And in both places, we'll get to touch anything we want, whatever you want to touch. You don't even have to ask. Can you touch? Just touch.
Just gonna have a big petting zoo party for you. You don't even have to ask. You could just touch."
And the kid does something like, burr, burr, burr. He does something with his mouth. He's, are you a ventriloquist? Can I touch? Are you a ventriloquist?
So then we go over to Heather's, and she's hanging out with her kids and making bacon on like one of those little plug-in flat top things. I don't know why I write some of this shit down.
It was like a little, yeah, I know. I noticed that also. I was like, I just for some reason didn't think that she'd have that accessory. It was like a hot plate. Yeah. And her mom and her daughter's like, Mom, your hair looks so cute. And she goes, thanks. I took Georgia to the ballet this morning, or to ballet class this morning. I just like how that like explains why her hair is cute. She's like, well, I was going to something for the fine arts, so I put my hair in a certain position.
So she tells us that divorce is hard, but at least her ex keeps up their lifestyle so she doesn't have to work, which is nice. She does work, but, you know, he kept the lifestyles up because he wanted a mom that was 24/7 to them. And then we hear like,
yes. Oh, God. How triggered was I, Ronnie, during this?
Tiny penis car outside.
Tiny penis. Okay. Okay, Jaden, you're young, so there's time to maybe mold you a little bit more. So this guy, Jaden, this is Ashley's boyfriend. He's like a teenager, and he drives up in, like, I don't know what car it was. It was like an old Pontiac or something. But it was like a little, like, Honda Civic that had, like, the Hemi attached, whatever. It was like, and they're like, oh, we can hear it. That must be Jaden. And they're like laughing. I'm like, no, those cars are awful. And I've said it many times before. I'm always happy to say it again. If you drive one of those cars, you're an asshole. And if you're not an asshole, if you say, wait, but I drive one, I'm not an asshole. That's fine. Maybe you're not an asshole. But just know that everyone's going to think you're an asshole.
You should just know that. Yeah, you're an asshole. When you because it's not like that car even came with it. You know what I mean? It's not like some Lambo outside. It's some fucking Toyota or something that somebody put that in just to be an asshole.
There's, like, literally no need. You're doing it because you need attention, because you probably aren't getting attention in some other way. So how about this? Instead of putting that money into a Hemi that's going to annoy everyone and give you lots of negative attention, put that money into some therapy or something, or a pizza. I don't know. But, like, it's stupid. If you have a loud car, we all hate you.
Yeah,
I'm sorry.
We hate you. Sorry. So they talk about how her daughter's going to go on a double date with Jaden and someone probably with a very quiet car in comparison. And Heather's like, oh, wow, that's so thoughtful. You guys do such thoughtful things, like double dates. That's so different than, like, single dates. You weren't really thoughtful.
Yeah, and the big thing is that they've gone to dances, like, multiple times in a row because Heather explains that in the Mormon community, you don't let your daughter go to a dance more than once in a row with the same boy because that could lead to a serious relationship and that could lead to sex, which then could lead to a very loud car. But you know what? Like, the heart wants what the heart wants.
Yeah. And so she's like, okay, well, just so you guys know, I'm not waking up for church unless you guys really want to. And they're like, no. And she tells us, it doesn't really matter if I have money and go to church anymore because my kids, like, are just basically not invited anywhere because I'm divorced. So they're just not part of the community anymore.
Yeah, and so I'm sorry to let down my pioneer ancestors, but to be fair, my specific pioneer ancestor had a covered wagon that was very loud, and we were already kind of shunned from the community anyway.
It's almost like nobody needs bodyguards anymore. So one of her kids, Georgia, is like, you know what? They're just so judgy about everything, and that's why I don't like to go to church. Sinners.
Sinners. So then we go to Meredith, and she's picking up her husband, Seth, at the airport. And this guy is just awful. He's just so terrible. He's one of those people that, like, he's not really interested in talking with you. He's looking to find flaws in your logic and just argue with you because it's, like, fun for him. And it's just so tiresome. Like, I understand why Meredith is why she looks and sounds like she does, because she's probably just been, like, all the joy in her life has just been sapped out of her because of this man.
It's been sapped.
She's been Seth.
So he gets in the car and he's like, whoa, this is, like, the first time you've ever come to pick me up. Okay, that's how you're starting? That's how you want to start this car ride, sir? He's like, yeah, it's not true, Seth. He's like, should I get in the back? Do you want me not to sit by you? Because I can get in the back if you want. You probably don't want me to sit by you. I mean, I'm just nervous. I haven't seen you in so long. It's like every little thing he says is to poke, poke, poke. And I was reading comments on this episode, and people are like, oh, my God, I love Seth so much.
What?
He's amazing, huh? I was like, are you
fucking
crazy?
He is so passive aggressive and so snotty and so obnoxious. And he's like, yeah, this is like a first date. And she's like, well, treat me like it's the first date. That'll be lovely. He goes, really? I don't even know how to do that. I'm like, I don't know why that annoyed me. I just did.
So she tells him, so are you enjoying Ohio? And he goes, oh, yeah, I'm a small town guy now. So when ski season is over, are you coming to Canton? Okay.
He says he's a blue collar guy, by the way. He says, I'm a blue collar guy. I'm like, do you see your mansion in Salt Lake City?
I know, but he's saying now he's blue collar because he's been living there. But everything he says is to try and start a fight. He hasn't said one thing yet that's not poking at her. It's like, I'm a small town guy now. So when ski season is over, are you coming to Canton? And she's like, now. And he goes, how about Akron then? Now. And he goes, oh, so where you live is more important than who you live with? You're just going to stay here? And she's like, yeah, because you uprooted our entire family. Again, Seth, and we move every couple of years for you, Seth.
And he goes, well, so you would, well, guess what? You never would have been here if we didn't do that, okay? Look how much you love it here. You opened a store here. You really liked it. So if we didn't move around all the time, you wouldn't have found this place that you love. I'm like, what sort of fucked up logic is that? Like, if I didn't move you around so much, you wouldn't have found this place that you love. So therefore, you should move away from it.
Yeah.
I guess because maybe you're going to love Akron too. Because
you love the next place. Like, yeah. And then I realized why everybody loves Seth. Because Meredith goes, Seth is in the deep discount and closeout retail industry. And I was like, yes. So you're basically fucking Marshalls. Yeah. I'm into it. Like, I would totally get impregnated with Ross or by Ross. Totally.
He is actually Ross. He is the Ross.
Yeah.
So because he's in this industry, he needs to like hunt for the deals, which I guess means that he has to move around a lot, which doesn't really totally make sense to me. I don't understand why that is, why you can't be just like based where you are. So we moved to Toronto, to Chicago, then to Chicago, and then from Chicago, he's commuting to Dallas. And then we came to Park City, and then Park City, he would drive to the supermarket every once in a while, and then we come back here, right? How many details do you want about our travel patterns?
And she's like, I'm aggravated now, Seth. And he's like, well, I would move anywhere for you. She goes, no, you wouldn't. How does that make any sense when you won't live here where she wants to live? You're so full
yeah,
of shit.
That does, it literally makes no sense. And then they show these pictures of them in like younger days, younger, happier days. And it's like, this is a lovely family. Who is that woman who's in it? Like, who is that woman who seems happy and feels like, I feel like I see promise in her eyes. Where did she go?
Yeah. And he's like, well, corporate headquarters is in Canton, Ohio. And she goes, well, my corporate headquarters is here, Seth.
Yeah.
And she's like, what, you think it's so easy to just uproot a business every 2 years and uproot the family? And he's like, well, where I'm at, we have like 100 employees, so I can't really uproot that.
I like that he's telling her, so where you live is more important than who you live with. But at the same time, he's basically saying, I'm choosing my job over my family.
Yes.
That's what he's basically saying, yes. Right?
So she's like, this is supposed to be date night, Seth. And he's like, well, you were the one who said, where are we going to live? No, she wasn't. She never said that. You were the one who got in the car and started
yeah.
with this shit. Now he's
such
trying to
a
get
dick.
A gaslighter. Fuck her. I hate this guy.
Yeah,
fucking
he is
get
awful.
Rid of him.
Yeah, he's just like a joyless dick who just lives to poke, like, just to argument. You know he's someone at a dinner table. Like, if you're going to a dinner party, he just talks at you the entire time. Here's what you got to do, Ronnie. Here's what you got to do. You're podcasting about Bravo. Where's that going to go? Where's that going to go? You need to podcast about taxes. You know, that's the thing that everyone has to
discounts.
Do. Podcast about taxes. Yeah. He's one who always has something to say about what you're doing in your life, but he has nothing interesting or a substance.
Yeah, I can see that. I just want her to leave. He seems like a total ass to me. So then we go to Mary's house, and she's in the closet with Grandpa, and she's like, well, I'm gonna wear this hat because jogging suit matches it. It matches my jogging suit. You know what? You don't even compliment me. That's the thing with you. Yeah. Like, you don't even compliment me.
Yeah. And then she pages Charlinda to bring her a tray. She's like, can you bring me my tray?
Oh, no. She makes him page Charlinda.
Oh,
to
sorry.
Bring the tray.
Yes.
She can't even page to help herself.
Yeah. So he pages Charlinda to bring whatever the tray is. Not sure what the tray is, but it is the tray and it's coming to her.
So let me tell you what's going on. I flare. And then we're now cutting between Jen and Sharif, she's talking to her husband on the phone. So we intercut. So she's like, yeah. Jen is picking on me and I just don't know why. Which, Mary, you started it this time at least.
Yeah,
okay?
You did. So then we go over to Jen and she's FaceTiming with Sharif to get, and she's like, Sharif, let me tell you about this luncheon. It was one of the most horrible experiences of my life. And he's like, of your life.
He's like, that's pretty bad. I mean, that's a lot.
Yeah.
So then Mary's like, my event, beautiful event. We had books. I gave them books. They got a pen. They got AirPods. I mean, I wanted them to know, like,
traveler.
I care. Like, I wanted them to know how much I care. Because, like, love, there was, like, so much love. And then we get to Jen. Cut to Jen.
Yeah, and she's like, you know what? you know, I was just saying why I go off and like what goes on in my life and everything. And I was just like sharing it. And then it goes back to Mary, or Mary's like, you don't say anything that I want to say, you know, because she's telling Robert. She's saying, yeah. She's like, you don't say anything I want to say. There's nothing that comes out of your mouth that's what I want to say.
And Jen's like, and then she freaks out and calls me a hoodlum. And he's like, whoa, I'm so sorry. She's like, I was like, what's wrong with you? I mean, 7-Eleven. I mean, all that stuff she said about 7-Eleven, guess what? That's my son and my nephew and my husband and my family that goes to that 7-Eleven. I'm so hurt because my whole family is black and I have a problem with you. I have a big problem with you.
And Sharif is so sweet and so supportive. I love that the first thing that he said, when she said about the hoodlum thing, his first thing was, I'm so sorry. I thought that was like... That was so lovely that he just said, I'm sorry that she had to feel that way. And then he's really supportive. And he tells us, you know, like, you know, interracial issues are real. They're black folks who don't like other black folks who say racist comments all the time. So I don't want you to internalize and say what I do as a woman of color trying to befriend another woman of color. Like, I was on your team. Like, don't do that, you know. And he's like giving just like this amazing, wonderful, thoughtful pep talk. And then it just gets to Mary with Robert, and she's like, I'm just real, okay? I don't care what people think. She sprang into Mary and her grandfather, blah, 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 blah. And he's like, can't do that. I'm like, you're literally her grandfather, though. Like, it's vulgar, but it's not inaccurate.
Yeah, and he's like, well, I couldn't care less what they think because I'm just supposed to grin and bear it now. And she's like, yeah, I mean, she's making me a mockery. I mean... A mockery of me. And she starts fake crying. And Jen on the phone with Sharif, he's just giving her this beautiful talk, right? This like beautiful pep talk. And she goes, yeah, well, if anyone did that to my son, I would beat their ass. And he goes, you mean figuratively, right? She's like, no, literally beat their ass. And he's like, oh my God. It's like
he's like, this isn't about you. So like, don't internalize. Okay. This is about her having views that don't align with yours. And all we can do is control our response. Maybe cut our nails because I woke up with gashes in my back, Jen. Because she has like, they're like talons. They're so crazy.
Yeah. So, then Grandpa's you know, there's a whole lot of misplaced jealousy. And she's like, her behavior is toxic. You know, it's like a tree with a bad apple. If you don't get it out, it spoils all the other apples. And then you start calling non-apple products apple products. I'm confused.
Is that how the bad apple thing works? I thought the bad apple thing is like if you have a basket and there's a bad apple, you don't really want to touch the other apples because you're afraid that you'll get another bad apple. I didn't know it actually had. I didn't know that the bad apple actually infected the entire tree.
Not the tree, I don't think, but the other apples in a bunch it affects, right? Like somehow if you have a bad apple next to other apples, it turns the other apples bad too.
I think so. Either way, I just thought it was like really funny that like Sharif, like his advice to his wife was about like, you know, being bigger than it, or in a certain way, it was like by being bigger, but like he was sort of like coming from like a thoughtful place of like, you know, these are her issues. You got to control yourself. Da 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 da. And then Roberts was like, she's just jealous.
Yeah, like, well, it's how they're presenting it to them too, because Jen has just presented like straight up racism to him. So he's like, you know, you're bigger. Don't go down with somebody like that. And Mary just keeps telling people over and over that this girl is so jealous of her. She's so jealous.
That's true
of her,
too. She wants to be the top dog. Top dog.
My God. So then Whitney goes to jujitsu with Will, her non-blood sibling.
And I never noticed chemistry. This. Yeah, so Whitney's interstitial, I never noticed it before, but like it is like the most white girl dancing of white girl dancing. Have you noticed her interstitial? Uh-uh. She's like, she goes like, she's like doing like this like bop, like this little bop thing. I'm like, okay, that's like, that was basically every bar mitzvah I went to growing up.
So we see them do some jujitsu training and a lot of like slamming. He slams down and then she straddles him. And I was like, this show is ruining me because I'm like, they're banging, right? Okay, I'm sorry. Sorry that's inappropriate to say, but I know I'm not the only one thinking it because my best friend texted me and she's like, they're banging, right?
Probably. I mean, this show has presented a lot of interesting. Well, especially actually in a little bit, it sort of sounds like it. So, so basically they're like step siblings and they're talking about the dad and they haven't heard from like Will, his name is Will, and Will hasn't heard from the dad since Thanksgiving. And apparently the dad did He did detox for 7 days and rehab for 30 days. And he was supposed to go to Sober Living, but instead he went to California. And then
the best place to go. The best place to go when you're California. Trying to sober up. California. Also,
the real takeaway from this was that Whitney has yet another new confessional look, but this one with fillers, etc. So, like, Whitney is, like, every time we see a new confessional, it's, like, a different person. Because there was that one where she has, like, the big, like, Kathy Moriarty hair and eyebrows, you know.
This is, so like, I'm her just, like, Marilyn trying to track Monroe it. One. And so she's telling, is I think this is the Marilyn Monroe one, right? Where she's got, like, a gold kind of, she's got Marilyn Monroe hair, and then she's got, like, a gold dress, but one of the straps is down and her boob is, like, about to pop out. And she's being very she looks sexy as hell, and she's like, this boob is just about to come right at you, and she's like, in my dad's sobriety, and she's like talking about the darkest shit ever, looking so fine.
She definitely looked like, well, whatever. So she is she's talking about her dad's treatment and everything, and then she tells us about her family structure. So she says that her dad had two kids from his first marriage, and her mom had two kids from her first marriage, and then she goes, so my father had a boy and a girl, Curtis and Kelly, and they married and had me and my sister Shaylee. I'm like, it sort of sounded like she said that her dad's kids got married and had Whitney, and I was like, you know what, on this show, I do have to stop and think that that really happened, because so far this show has kind of like, you know, like, press the limits of what we expect out of relationships.
Yeah. So she's like, well, after the divorce, it was hard because I did have a good relationship with him and we were buddies. But then the siblings got along well. But then after the divorce, it was their siblings against our siblings. And then it just made the divide bigger when I supported my dad. And Will's like, well, if you need anything, I guess you could just let us know. And she's like, it would be super helpful if you could send encouraging texts. And he's like, I have, but the guy never has texted me back.
Yeah, and so basically they're just going to send love and support while the dad goes on his journey towards sober living, et cetera, et cetera. And then afterwards, they're going to fuck. So,
By the way, this is we have two shows today about people just not texting back. But you got,
yeah.
I love when Bravo does that, just like dovetails two stories. Like, it's the same night. It's a theme night of not being texted back tonight on Bravo.
It's like, this week on Bravo, people don't text other people back, and other people are positive for coronavirus.
Yeah.
That's what Bravo is this week. So now we go to a bowling alley for Henry's birthday. Happy birthday, Henry. Happy birthday. Who's ready for Henry's party? Who? I love that. It's a birthday party bowling alley. I love that. Go, Henry. Go, Henry. Go.
With Sundance coming down the pipeline, I'm like, what can I do now to make them feel special? Because it's my time. This is my time to say, you have mommy's attention. Oh, my God. Look at all the attention. You're doing great. Can you touch? Touch. Go touch her. Yeah, I'm a good mother. And I'm happy. So happy.
Because yeah, like then she's going to completely ignore them for a month or whatever.
Exactly. I like that she says, this is the one time that you've got 100% of mommy's attention. I'm like, you're shooting a reality show. This is not 100% of his. This is like, you're literally on display for the cameras. I do not believe that he is getting 100% of your attention right now.
She's like, well, I'm happy. He's happy because he's so funny. Look at him jumping around. Oh, honey, remember how I told you about Meredith and Seth separating? And my 40s, what did I accomplish? Like, everybody feels like that at some point. Like, oh my God, my 40s. Like, ugh, I'm a loser. Right? I mean, not me, but everyone else does. You know, failures feel it. So I gotta.
And her kid's like, I'm a worm, as he's like flapping on the bench. And so, listen, marriage, like Diet Coke, is sacred. And it's not till death do you part. It's for eternity. So nobody has a perfect marriage, but you pick a partner and choose to make the best of it, okay? And, like, that's why John and I came together, okay? Because we both have a core love of God, a core love of Jesus, and a core love of family.
Yeah.
I'm like, that's pretty standard for, I think, I would say, like, most Christians, by the way. Wow, you wait a second. Are you telling me you love God, Jesus, and family?
Yeah.
But it's Mormonism. That's just how it is. And she goes, sometimes, you know, you feel out of sync.
And the producer goes, well, have you ever gotten to it with your husband? She goes,
oh, yeah. I've thrown his phone out of the car window before. Okay? He makes me upset. I make him upset.
The producer's like, did you go back and get the phone. She goes, he did. He went back for it. It was in a snowbank.
I was already at Park City because I'm like the queen of Sundance. I just walked up to Robert Redford and said, give me a Rolex. And I threw it out into the snow. Yeah, and Cillian Murphy had to dig it out. It was crazy. She goes, I love that.
She's like, everyone's like being nice just to get something from their husband. And I'm like in our marriage, John, I don't perform for presents. I deserve presents for no reason. Like, I deserve presents for breathing. And he's like, well, if you want to give services, you could do that. She's like, John Barlow.
John Barlow, not in front of Henry. I love that, Henry. You just got a spare. I love that.
John, why am I kind of loving Lisa? I hate myself. I just figured I was going to hate Lisa, and now I'm like kind of laughing at Lisa in every scene.
I don't know if I love her yet. I think it's funny that she threw the Rolex. I think that's kind of like monstrous. I think that's like crazy that she took his Rolex and threw it out the window. But
oh, is it his Rolex? We'll see. I thought it was his iPhone.
No, Rolex. Oh, Rolex. This is a Rolex. Yeah, but Lisa's gonna be. I know where I'm gonna be with Lisa. I'm gonna hate her this season, and then next season I'm gonna love her. It's like one of those things. I have to go through a season of hate, and then I realize how like no, that hatred was like for like something amazing.
I heard her reactions to everything just crack me up. Like all the ladies are going crazy fighting, and she's like, you know what? I don't like how this makes me feel.
I think there's no resolve. I think that's the problem. There's no resolve here.
Oh. So then we get a scene of Whitney and her dad driving to rehab or sober living or whatever, and that's pretty much it.
He sits very far away from the wheel. My takeaway was like, sir, I understand the struggles in your life, and I am very happy that you are taking care of them. Please bring your seat closer to your wheel. This is not safe. Why are you sitting so far behind? Why are you sitting in the back seat while you drive, sir?
Yeah. So then we go over to Meredith and Seth at home, and this is so fitting. You know, she's doing this, probably putting perfume on her wrists, but she's kind of rubbing her wrists together and staring at them like she's got fucking handcuffs on, you know? Yeah. And of course, it's because Seth is there, and he's like, you know, I'm taking off, right? Because I need to go to work, because I just can't live this Park City dream like you. Okay, say one thing that's not trying to start a fight. Please, just one.
Park City dream, weren't you the one who moved them to Park City? This is your dream that you actually started and abandoned to go back to Akron, Ohio, sir.
So then I start to kind of feel for him, okay? And I think this is why people are feeling for him. Listen, if anybody cries, I'll feel for him. I'm very easily manipulated.
No.
Yeah, if you ever need something from me and I won't give it to you, cry. That's really all you have to do. I'll do whatever you want.
So do you feel bad for Austin on Southern Charm?
No, because it wasn't even real. I kind of feel bad for Austin. Yeah, because I don't think Austin's like a bad person necessarily. I just think he's gross.
It's insane that you would even be talking like this. So anyway, so Seth is like, so what? So you don't want me here? You want room? I'll give you room. And she's, you know what? Like, maybe me being out of the picture will help you figure out what you want. Maybe I'm not in the picture. She's like, well, I don't disagree, Seth. I mean, it's not like I want to separate, but sometimes you have to work things out individually in order to come back together as a happy couple.
And then he starts crying. And this is where, I felt bad.
He's like, I don't think we're going to make it. I don't think we're going to make it. I'm like, that's because of your fault.
Yeah. And he's like, well, I don't want to separate. I mean, it's been 25 years. And they hug and he keeps crying. And he's like, well, I guess I know it's the right thing. She's like, I do love you. And all I could see was that she bought the fucking bear art. Did you see
that same thing? Yes. I was like, she got the bear. She got the bear art. And then he swings his bag over his shoulder, his duffel bag. And when it like lands on his shoulder, the music goes boom, like duffel bag of emotion, you know?
So now let's go have lunch with Mary and Heather.
Oh, and also since we didn't do it before the last scene, because it did happen, I've noticed that Salt Lake City does sort of have an anthem from the Salt Lake City doesn't seem to have a Trixie Monocle, but it does have a piece of music that they play every week, which is like this sort of banshee sort of thing, like it sounds like banshees, not banshee like with
not like the show.
No, it's just someone going yeah. You'll hear it. It's every week.
So Mary goes to lunch with Heather, and Heather's like, you know what? I just want her to know that I can be loyal. Like, I can be loyal to two people at one time. Like, I don't have to take sides about it. So she comes in, and she's like, do you want a cocktail? Because I'm having a vodka soda. And Mary goes, you know what? I'm going to have a still water with that. Sparkling? No sparkling, because bad. It's bad. Sparkling is bad. And you know what sparkling does? It hurts your ovaries.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, it hurts. I couldn't tell if she said it carbonation hurts your ovaries or hardens your ovaries. But either way, I wasn't sure it was sound medical advice.
No, it was shockingly not sound medical advice. And Heather goes, oh, it hurts your ovaries. Then double the sparkling for me. I'm not using these suckers. I'll have double the sparkling. I'll have a vodka chicken lollipop.
So they toast and 7 years of good luck, look each other in the eyes. And they start talking about the luncheon. And Mary is saying, she's like, you know what? Jen's problem with me, that anger, that rage, she resents that I'm on top. I'm like, on top of fake medical knowledge? What are you talking about? What are you on top of?
No, maybe the
church.
I mean,
maybe her church.
Boiling the whole thing down, Jen was being a drama queen. But if Jen says, my aunt just got her legs amputated, and you said, I smell like hospital or whatever, and Mary had just said, I didn't mean it that way. I'm so sorry. That's it.
Yeah,
but instead, you guys made it this huge, huge thing. And she's like, she's triggered. She's triggered to what I have. Like, she's just not used to it because of my color. And Heather kind of laughs, and she's like, so it's a black thing? she's like, what is she even saying? She goes, what does being black have to do with jealousy about her purses?
Yeah, and she goes, yes, my color, my style, whatever I have, she feels like she has to be the best. And, like, I just don't like to live and wobble in pain. She's not wobbling in pain, guys. She's very sturdy in pain.
I'm not going to wobble in pain. So she's like, she'll never apologize to me. She screams grandfather motherfucker at me. And she's like, okay, so you're mad that she attacked your marriage. She goes, yeah, I mean, my grandmother, her will. I'm like, in her will, she wanted me to take her place. It was in her will.
Yeah. And then she starts saying, my husband's not my blood grandfather. That'd be weird. And then she starts doing her crying, and she's like, I mean, I didn't want to marry him. I mean, it was weird to me, but she wanted it. She really did. So I obeyed her because I trusted her every word. I mean, if she got the church this far, then I trusted her. And look at my life.
Look at me now. I won. It's
like, oh. I'm like, okay. Maybe he seems sort of sad, but that's okay.
Oh, my God, yeah. And so she tells us that she started to pray. She didn't want to get into the marriage in the first place, but then she started to really pray hard and seek higher help, and then God told her to marry him.
Yeah, yeah. So, Heather says that she also chose faith over love. And, you know, she married for her family and religion. She's like, but then again, I also never had to call Billy grandpa or even daddy. So,
yeah. You know. So she's like, well, I'm really glad that you shared that with me, Mary. You haven't said it 30 times every episode of the show. So thanks for sharing it. And Mary's like, you know what? I care. But, like, done when I'm done, when I'm done, when I'm done, I'm done. I'm done when I'm done. And Heather's like, yeah, you guys have but here's the thing. You guys have a lot in common. I mean, you probably have more in common than things that you don't have in common.
I'm not sure. I think that's the thing that people say when they don't really know what to say anymore in a fight. Like, you guys are so alike. That's why you fight. It's like, no. Mary's crazy and Jen's a narcissist. That's all.
Yeah. And Mary's like, well, she's damaged. Burnt the bridge. She burnt it. And I don't want her friendship. You know what? Done. I'm done. I'm so done. I'm done. And that's how we end The Real Housewives of Salt Lake City.
So more insights into Mary's life. No convenience stores. No carbonation.
Really old phone to page for a tray. That you have to page the help for the tray, but the tray is not in the kitchen where you are. It's in some other random room where
that's
trays
what
of
I'm
food
saying.
Are.
What is the tray? What is on the tray? And why is the tray so known that it could just be referred to as the tray?
I don't know, but I guess we'll see next time.
We have a full season. We have a full season. A lot to unpack. Can I touch? So, you guys, thanks for listening, and for some of you, thanks for watching. We are going to be back on the next episode with some Southern charm, a lot of drama over there. So we're going to have some fun with that. So stay tuned for that episode. Keep an eye out for it. And thanks for listening, and we'll catch you on the next one. Bye, everyone. Bye.
Watch What Crappens would like to thank its premium sponsors.
Ain't No Thing Like Allison King.
Ashley Savoni, she don't take no baloney.
Dana C. Dana Do. She's not just a Sheila, she's a Daniela.
Itchels.
Let's run some errands with Emily Ahrens.
Erin McNicholas, she don't miss no trickolas.
Hava Nagila Weber.
Jamie, she has no last namey.
Sip some scotch with Jessica Trotch.
Just saying, okay. Higher than high res, she's Lauren Perez.
Megan Berg, you can't have a burger without the Berg.
You don't touch the Nicky Morgan lettuce.
One day you're Rachel Zinn, the next day you're out.
He makes us squee, Richie D.
There ain't no problem that Sarah Salvia can't solve ya.
The Bay Area betches. Betches.
And our super premium sponsors.
Nancy, cease and desisto.
Let's rev our pistons for Amanda and Kristen.
Better than Tabbouleh, it's Annie and Julie.
Let's give them a kissa, it's Austin and Marissa.
Somebody get us 10 cc's of Betsy MD.
We're taking the gold with Brenda Silva. Erica, 500 days of summers.
We will, Joanna Rockland you.
The incredible edible Matthews sisters.
Let's go on a bender with Lauren Fender.
No one makes us feel well like Megan Cap Sewell. Mina Coochie Coochie Coochie.
Give him hell, Miss Noel.
Sarah Greenwood, she only uses her power for good.
Can't have a meal without the Emily Sides.
Shannon, out of a can, and Anthony.
Let's get racy with Miss Stacy.
Let's take off with Tamla Plain.
She ain't no shrinking Violet Kuchar. We love you guys.